Okay, now we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going off-beast. Ready?
Whee! Oh. The white of that snow. This morning we're going to enter a world of colour. Yes, we have a specific one in mind. A guessing game, perhaps? Okay, well, look at the sky. Yes, or even perhaps the deeper hue of midnight. Here's a bit of thinking music for you. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Miles Davis, a kind of blue. Aha! There we are, blue. That's our text this morning. In all its shades, it's being featured. It's the cornerstone of a new exhibition at the National Gallery of Victoria, Blue Alchemy of Colour. It's co-curated by Carol Keynes, who, by coincidence, is here with me. Carol, welcome.
Thank you.
Where does blue come from?
The concept for the exhibition?
Well, the idea of the colour, or the colour itself. That's a complicated question, I know, because it's from many different sources and many different shades.
That's true, and it is a complicated question because in, you know, many cultures, blue really wasn't a colour word for quite some time. So, for example, we have the ocean in Greek literature described as a wine red sea, and we have in China the word qing can mean the colour range from blue black all the way through to green. So even though we think we know what we mean when we say blue, in other cultures, you know, the concept of blue is quite different.
And we take so much for granted from our experience of the world is formed by our language, is formed by those sorts of cultural notions.
Yes, that's true. And also when you think of the colour blue, of course, which shade of blue do you mean?
Ah.
part of the spectrum are we talking about?
There's a can of worms.
Yes.
Well, there's a thing, is blue, yeah, there it is in the spectrum, indigo bit of it. It's a thing which occurs. We look at the sky, we see blue. It's amazing to think of a culture which would not have our apprehension of that.
Yes, it's almost
that's a bit of a brain
impossible to
notion.
Conceptualize, isn't it, that there is no blue as such.
What cultures did have that thought? You mentioned ones that avoided or didn't have an expression for it.
I think the only one I really know about, of course, is the Greek mentioning, you know, the sea not being blue but being this other colour, completely the opposite in our concept.
Various blues in art evolved at various points of time, and this has a lot to do with minerals, chemical extractions,
yes,
processes.
Yes. Well, in the exhibition, we're really focusing on cobalt blue as a pigment, particularly used in ceramic production.
What's its story?
Cobalt blue is mined in various parts of the world, particularly the main deposits that we represent in the show are in the Erzgebirg Mountains in Saxony, in Iran in the Kashan region, and then in China in Jingdezhen. So the availability of the pigment there led to the development of these beautiful blue and white patterned ceramics, which are part of an enormous trade story.
Is the pigment is it blue in its unfired state, or is it transformed?
No, it is transformed, and that's partly why we wanted to call the exhibition Blue Alchemy of a Colour, because both cobalt blue and indigo, which is the other blue pigment we feature, are transformed from colourless materials into blue colorants.
I'm always astounded with things like that at the extraordinary inventive capacity of the species to to dig something up, think, that's an interesting thing I've just dug up, but then to go to what happens if I melt this when attached to earthenware.
That's right.
Is sort of...
Well, I think often these things happen accidentally, you know, and someone's clever
left
enough
in
to,
fire,
to backtrack and realise how they got to the end point that they wanted.
And in art, blue has often meant something. It's,
yes.
It's a loaded hue.
Well, it's interesting. We're really looking at mainly works from Asia, and in Asian cultures, blue is often associated with specific deities. So the most familiar one probably is Krishna, the blue god of Hinduism. And he's actually an incarnation of Vishnu, who's the god of creation. So Vishnu and all his incarnations, which include Krishna and Rama, are all coloured blue. And the reason Vishnu is blue is that he's associated with the cosmic ocean from whence everything was created, and the sky from which a lotus that arose from his navel... provided a throne for Brahma when he created everything sitting up against the blue sky.
And to see, I mean, this is the wonderful thing of an exhibition like yours, is to, it lifts the scales from the eyes. Armed with that bit of information, the blue is more than a colour.
Yes.
You see these things in a totally different way.
Yes. But blue has significance, you know, beyond the religious context as well. So we're displaying quite a lot of textiles. One of them is a beautiful batik cloth from the north coast of Java, from the Chinese community. And in that context, blue is often associated with the end of life, old age, and perhaps mourning and funeral types of ceremonies. But that doesn't mean that every blue cloth is destined for that kind of use. So this cloth seems to be a beautiful ceremonial cloth that could have been hung as a canopy at a wedding. So the significance of the colour doesn't actually totally determine how it's used or...
Carol Keynes knows a lot about blue. She's co-curated an exhibition at the National Gallery of Victoria. It's about to kick off. It's running until March, so you'll have plenty of time. Blue Alchemy of Colour is its title. It's Sunday Extra here on our end. Carol, probably at the most sort of careless time in creative history with things like colour. I mean, things now can be used with a complete absence of significance just because they look nice. And this is such a contrast with what you're saying here about the history of blue and so many arts.
Yes, but I think, you know, blue was also really widely used, for example, across Asia and Europe as a colourant for working class clothes because the indigo plant was widely available across pretty much across the whole planet.
So there's two sources we've discovered so far is the indigo plant and cobalt.
Yes.
Cobalt blue. And some combinations, I mean, for example, in ceramics, the blue and white combination is almost sort of globally ubiquitous. It appears in different cultural settings.
Yes.
Why do those things happen, I wonder?
Well, look, it's amazing, the popularity of the blue and white palette, and it always has been popular and desired since it started to be traded in between China and Persia way back in the 7th and 8th century. And it was always coveted and highly valued.
So this is the china, the porcelain and so on itself?
That's right.
Or the actual pigment itself?
Well, I think it was really, really both. You know, the porcelain was very desirable because it was such a wonderful material for people who really only had metalware or wooden implements and utensils. To have porcelain, you know, light, glossy, beautiful, and then decorated with these lovely blue patterns, set up the incredible trade between Persia and China and then Europe from the 16th century onward.
And wonderful too to think of that time when trade could be in that sort of detail of a cultural experience, whether it be herbs and spices or a colour or a fabric dye. I mean, these things, such precious entities.
That's right, and it's exactly why they were, you know, so important to trade, because they really drove a lot of trade, that top luxury end material.
What was in the Western sort of visual canon, the last colour to be introduced? Do we have a sequence of discovery around the palette?
Look, I'm not sure, but I imagine it's something to do with, you know, analysing light and breaking down visual light into more and more refined colours in the spectrum.
Then there's the whole other thing of blue, of state of mind too, which is an interesting...
Yes.
Interesting jump off the page.
That's right. And I haven't, you know, really discovered a lot of that in terms of the material in the exhibition, except in one work, which is a textile from one of the Indonesian islands, Sumba. In the west of Sumba, there's a community where indigo dyeing it's only undertaken by initiated older women, and they completely control the dye process. It's really an expression of their, I guess, subordination in so many other ways. It's the one area in which they can shine, and they sing particular songs while they're dying, which expresses this dissatisfaction with their position in society.
No blue stockings they.
Exactly.
Carol, thank you. What a fascinating thing. Carol Keynes is curator of Asian art at the National Gallery of Victoria and co-curator of this new exhibition. It's all about the colour blue. It's called Blue Alchemy of Colour. It opens at the NGV in Melbourne 6th of November. If you're around the country elsewhere and are passing through the southern state, you've got plenty of time. It'll be running until March of 2016. Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Jonathan Green, Sunday Extra, and we're on RN.